Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
So, without further ado, just like get my seating properly here. Let's jump right into the scripture, then followed by that, we'll just pray for God's presence to enter our hearts and our minds as we press in together. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and then also verse 6 of chapter 11. Also, I will be reading from the Amplified translation of the Bible. So whoever's running the service, you can put the text on the screen as I read. So once again, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and verse 6. And it goes as followed. Now, faith is the assurance, or some translations confidence, assurance, title, deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality, faith comprehended as fact, what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. For by this kind of faith, faithful men or saints of old gained divine approval. By faith, this is which an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness, of God. We understand that the world, universe, and age were formed and created, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Verse 6. Of the same chapter. But without faith, it is impossible. I'm going to say that again. Impossible to walk with God and please him, for whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father God, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for being Lord above all, Lord above every obstacle we face and every thing that happens in our life. We pray, Father God, for your spirit to be here in this time, in the reading of your word, in the exposition of your text, God, that, Lord, you would speak deeply and intimately to us as we wrestle with faith, what it means to be faithful, and how we can do our best to trust you, even when we cannot see the very thing that we're trusting and believing in. We thank you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and let the church say amen. So, as I said, we're parachuting in to faith it until you make it. Faith it until you make it. I'm sure you guys have all heard the term fake it until you make it. We're not faking anything. even when we don't know what's coming next, even when we may not feel very faithful, we're not going to fake it. We're going to feel what we feel and have faith anyways. Amen. Faith it until you make it. See, faith it until you make it is coined or dubbed as not knowing or having the answers, but trusting that God will, which he'll bring about what we can't see to what will be. And we're trusting him to figure it out. See, when we fake it till we make it, we're essentially saying that we're moving forward. We don't know what we're doing, but we're going to move forward anyways. And the faithing it aspect is still not being sure of what is next, but we don't have to move without having the assurance that God will figure it out for us, even when we don't have the answers. Even when we don't have the answers. See, in many circles, faith is characterized as a religious thought or religious context. See, many times if you in any circle, you bring up the word faith, people will either shy away or they tell us in certain common spaces, especially at work, that you don't talk about what? Politics and faith. Although people still talk about politics, but faith is that no-no. I remember times when I was at work and working in different organizations. And this is when I was younger in my faith journey. And I would be afraid sometimes to pray over my food, or I would have this little small pocket Bible that I would read after I'd eaten my lunch. And I, at times, you know, like when you're writing a test and you cover it, there's times where I would not be as out there with these actions of faith because I didn't want to be judged as some religious heretic or zealot or something that was off-putting to those that probably didn't share the same core beliefs as me. But however, faith is that very thing that is inherent to the human experience. It is impossible to live this life and not have faith. See, it's not just related to the religiosity or the religious experience. It's a part of the human experience. Faith and life itself, they go together like peanut butter and jelly, like ackee and sawfish, if you get what I mean. However, the thing is, in a religious context, or more succinctly, as people of faith, those that believe in Christ, our journey towards knowing him more is a journey that is built upon faith, trusting and taking action. Moving forward, and even though we don't know what will be the outcome, trusting him anyways, faithing it till you make it. This can be a hard thing to do, a very hard thing to do, but yet it's still a requirement in trusting him, is believing that he can do what we can't do, that he will cause what is unseen to be seen. Even if that means that we remain faithful, and sometimes we don't always see the outcome of our faith, but the hope that he instills within us, we will see him someday in glory. So as I was saying, faith is this thing that is a part of our human experience. Faith is linked to everything that we encounter in life. When we were doing pre-service prayer, Pastor Jermaine, he mentioned about crises that we face, and that crises come in life, but crises don't affect God. Our crises don't affect him, but But however, we still have him to trust and hope in. So as we move through life, our faith helps us through every moment, every crisis, every dream, every hope, every obstacle, and every triumph is linked to faith. Even if you're one who doesn't believe that God exists, belief is a part of everything that we do. So what is faith exactly? The Bible tells us, and in Hebrews, many believe, which was written by Paul. However, his name is not on this teaching or letter, but because of the writing style, many believe it was Paul. So he explains to us that faith is confidence and assurance in what we hope for and the evidence of things that we can't see. The evidence of things we can't see. So faith, if it was a formula, we could look at faith as hope, evidence, and confidence, which leads to divine favor. So as I was looking at this text, as I was pondering this, and to be honest with you, before I was asked to do the Bible study, before I was asked to speak this morning, and I've been just kind of been on this journey of what is faith, what is belief, and how do I exercise it to the point where it transforms my life. So I've just been doing like studies on the words that Hebrews mentions. So I looked at the word substance, and substance is defined as physical or material matter. But in the context of our thoughts, substance can be determined or described as thought, discourse, study, philosophy, and articulation. Evidence now, which is probably a little bit more simply explained, is that which proves or disproves the testimony or belief. So my working understanding of faith comes down to this. Faith is the composition of one's thoughts, internal discourse, and philosophy that fuels our intentions and provides grounds by which we prove or disprove our beliefs. So in other words, faith is belief without sight. I remember the first time I did a word study on faith and came to this conclusion. I was so angry because, you know, as I talked with friends who didn't believe in God, didn't believe in, I guess, anything, and I would talk to them about God or about faith of the Bible, they would always say, oh, you just believe, Christians just believe blindly. They just believe blindly about the Bible, and they don't check for facts, and et cetera, et cetera. So when I came to this, it bothered me because belief without sight, but that's what it is. We're expected to trust God when we don't know where he's leading us. You see, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by God. So that requires a certain level of trust in where he will be leading us. However, he doesn't always reveal every step of the plan. So we have to believe without sight. That which has not been made visible will become visible at some point based on our faith and our obedience to what he's saying to us as a church, to us as individuals, or our families. can be a very challenging thing to do. I like what Pastor Trey had once taught us about faith, and he gave us this wonderful acronym that faith is fully anticipating it to happen. So F-A-I-T-H, fully anticipating it to happen. So that which we cannot see, we have to believe that some point we will see it, fully expecting it to happen, which can be very challenging as we move forward, especially when we are going through times of uncertainty and crisis, to trust that God's going to work it out, that he has my back. In actuality, as the psalmist says, that he leads us, he goes before us, and he follows us. He's actually encompassing all around us, so he has every angle covered. Hallelujah. See, faith must come to a point of expectation, because God promises in verse 6 of Hebrews 11 that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What does that look like? I often think to myself. Sometimes, to be honest, not even sometimes, most times it feels like I get it wrong. Sometimes it feels that way. See, I'm reminded of this this verse in a hip hop group called Cross Movements, what they said in one of their songs. They said, "What's the reason for the things that you believe in? If it ain't the sun, then you're minus, you're freezing." So the thought that came to me is, what are the things in our lives, the things that happen that causes us to freeze in our faith? Freeze in our faith. We believe, but then somewhere along the lines, we stop believing. We stop trusting. What are those things? What are those things? I've come to understand that faith and fear, unfortunately, go together. So the thing that usually stops us in our faith is fear. Fear. Now, I'm not sure how some of you may come to this reality or conclusion, but I've come to realize that I have gotten to this journey, a place in my journey with God, that I don't think I could ever stop believing that he's God. But I do have a lot of trouble in believing that he'll come through, that he's going to fulfill his promise, especially when you go through different trials or whether it's health related, financially related, whatever it may be, we're believing that God is God, but we struggle with the faithfulness. It's not that we stop being faithful. It's just that we wonder if, God, are you hearing my prayers? It's been months. It's been years. Are you gonna come through? See, fear is an excellent deterrent for faith. It's a whispering lie. It's a whispering lie that tells you you're not gonna make it. You know, the same whispering lie in the garden when the serpent challenged what they knew to be true, challenged their faith. And said to Eve, when he told her that you would be like God, he lied to her. and she believed it. We're no different. We believe the lie that gets whispered into our ear, and we're trying to stay diligent as we're trying to march forward. We hear so many things. Sometimes it's not even lies. They're just questions. And fear, because of fear, we shrink. I heard an acronym on fear, which says false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Because we believe that this bad thing may happen or he may not come through, because based on the environment, it seems that he may not come through. It leads me to think of the three Hebrew boys that got thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, that wasn't false evidence, those were real flames. But they still chose to not bow when they got thrown in there. Like, the natural conclusion is, I am going to die. But we know how that story ends, that a fourth man showed up in the fire. I remember one time, was years ago, I was driving and just going through some struggles and challenges. And I remember I stopped at the red light and I heard like the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear. I felt like I was drowning. And I remember the Holy Spirit said, "You will not die." I felt like I wanted to die. I felt the fear of everything like in my life at the time kind of crashing down on me losing a hold on things, not being able to control the situation, the circumstances. And I just felt like, I don't know how much longer I can keep my head above the waterline. You know, like almost as though like feeling the water at times, like getting submerged, but my head going back up. And I just remember in that moment, you will not die. You will not die. And I believed it. Even though I was afraid, I believed it. Sometimes faith, because faith and fear are linked together, sometimes we have to feel the fear and still have faith anyways. It's okay to be afraid and have faith. It's okay to not know how it's going to turn out and still believe that somehow it's going to work itself out. Because we're not going to escape fear. It's always going to be present. It's always going to try to whisper to us and tell us that you won't make it. You will die. This will fail. This seed will not grow. But I'm here to tell you that faith it till you make it. Trust God that he will cause what cannot be seen to be made visible. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, in 2 Timothy, Paul teaches that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So when you're feeling afraid to move forward, remember that God has given you love, power, and a sound mind. So while faith and fear are connected, and fear is the enemy of faith, praise God that faith is the only way to overcome fear. It's the only way to overcome fear. See, faith is not the absence of fear, but it's pushing through. We have to go from being afraid to being faithful. I'm afraid to being faithful. So in verse 6, of this chapter once again, God says to us that without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please him. It's impossible, as the Amplified Version says, it's impossible to walk with him if we're not trusting that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a promise to us that if we choose to trust him, he'll take care of us. That's the reward. He will take care of us. He will take care of it. He doesn't say what the reward will be or how he's going to do it. Sometimes you may get a sense of what he is doing, but for the most part, he's asking us to, will you trust me? Will you trust me? I don't know if you've ever seen or been a part of those team building exercises where you have one individual that stands up and there's another individual that stands behind them, and they have to, without looking, just fall back and hope or trust maybe that the person on their team is going to catch them. That's us. That's us. We are being asked to fall, trusting that God, as we fall back, that he's not going to let us fall and crash to our death. He's not going to allow us to be harmed. He's not going to allow us to be harmed. See, faith requires action. We can't say we have faith and believe that God's going to come through without an action. What is the action of our faith? What is the action of our faith? The action of our faith is the substance of hope. The action of our faith is our evidence. I'm going to say that again. The action of our faith is our evidence. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith, our action, even though we don't see it, has to be the evidence of the things we don't see. It lets God know that we trust him, even if we're afraid. Faith is evidence, our evidence. Our actions, rather, is our evidence. Evidence of what we believe he's going to do in and through our lives. See, it's like the saying, we gotta walk the walk and talk the talk. So we gotta live this life that we say that we want and we trust in God for. But then not only are we saying it, we're living it. So walk the walk, talk the talk, or put your money where your mouth is. But in this case, put your faith, or put your actions where your faith is. James 2:14 says it like this. What is the benefit? Once again, from the Amplified Version, James 2:14. What is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? There it is, as evidence. Can that kind of faith save? Can that kind of faith save without the evidence? See, it's not up to God to provide us with evidence that he's going to come through. We got to provide the evidence that we know he's going to come through by our actions, by our deeds, and not that we can work our way to heaven. That's not what it means. Not that we can work our way to causing God to do something, like as though we're kind of trying to force him into doing our will. The evidence is just the trust. I know he's going to come through. I know he's going to do it. I know it. And it's not just hoping. This goes beyond hope. This is us knowing his word and pronouncing his word over our situation, over our lives. That he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. That all things work together for good. It's pronouncing these things over our lives, like knowing the word. So like we know the word, we accept the word, and we live the word. I know it's not always easy to live it out, but that's how we provide the evidence. That's how we pull ourselves forward. That's how we pull ourselves forward. See, we must go from faith to faithful. See, like I said, our faith has to be built on hearing the word, accepting the word, and living by the word. Living by the word. It's our confident expectation. It's our inner discourse that we talked about earlier, that as we go through things, like it's that thought, you know, where we're trying to work it out in our brain, like to know, okay, how do I do this? How do I trust him? How do I know what is grounds for what is real and what is not real, or what I will believe or what I will not believe? Am I going to trust what I can't see, the unseen God? Am I going to trust that he's going to make a way when it seems like there is no way? And the answer has to be yes. See, the beautiful thing about faith, and again, I believe Paul as the writer, he does this so well for us, is that he talks about, when he talks about faith, he talks about other individuals, notable individuals that we know in the scriptures, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Israel, and so on. And one of the beautiful things about that is that he characterizes these people who are being held up as heroes of faith, because many theologians usually call that passage or portion of scripture the heroes of faith. However, they were people just like you and me. People that struggled to trust, and people who may not have always done things the right way, but they believed that God was going to work it out. Even when I think of Abraham and Sarah, those who know the scriptures, we know their story. Yet they're characterized as heroes. But God gave them a promise of a child, and like I said, we don't always struggle with is God God? We struggle with, will he come through? Will he come through? Will he come through? And I like how Paul says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Yes, these heroes of faith, these patriarchs of our faith, these patriarchs of the pages of the Bible, we can look to and draw inspiration and hope from because of what God did through ordinary people. But when we think of the people in our lives, the people in this faith community of Dayspring, the people that in our families who have shown themselves to be faithful, they've shown themselves to be faithful to God, faithful to the community, faithful as friends. We are surrounded by the DCC cloud of witnesses, or whatever faith body you came from. We're surrounded by people who are just like us, who don't always get it right, but still trust God anyway. Don't always know what the next step is going to be, but continue to trust God. So we're surrounded. We're surrounded by God's protection, but he surrounds with people who have walked the journey before and know what it is to trust him. We're surrounded by people who pray. That as soon as the word comes in, as soon as they hear of what is going on, that they pray for you, even if you don't know. You're surrounded, you're covered. You're surrounded when you come to service on a Sunday, on Zoom, people are praying for you, are hoping well for you. When you come on a Sunday afternoon when we gather, you're surrounded by people who are on the same journey as you, that are worshiping with you and that love you and that love God. We're surrounded by the cloud of witnesses that the scripture marks out for us, but we're also surrounded by this community. We're surrounded. We're covered. We're covered. Recovered. See, the beautiful thing about the human experience is that we don't have to walk it alone. Even when you may feel alone, even when life has caused you to withdraw from others, you don't have to go through this experience alone. You don't have to have faith by yourself. Iron sharpens iron. When two and three are gathered together, there in the midst is the Lord's presence. We're surrounded. Although we may struggle by ourselves or internally on what it is we believe or whether God's going to do it, he surrounds us with people who've gone through the experience. We're surrounded. So in closing, I want to encourage you to have faith in the process. Have faith in the midst of fear. Have faith that God will come through. And faith it till you make it. Faith it till you make it. Because what now is unseen, God promises to us is that it will be made seen. It will be made seen. So if everyone can bow their head and close their eyes as we close in prayer. Father God, oh, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We thank you that you are a God.